Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. And welcome to another edition of the National Black Unity News Show. And this show is part of the continuation of the publication of the National Black Unity News newspaper. And as we do every time we come on these airways, first of all, we'd like to thank you, the listening audience, the 47,000 plus people who have tuned into the show here on Home-Based Business 101 and Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener-supported radio. Without you chiming in to listen to what it is that we have to say, and we'd just be talking to ourselves. But obviously we're not. And again, I want to thank my grandson, Isaiah, for allowing us to use his voice as a means of being able to introduce this show. And as you know how we do every time we come on these airways, what we'd like to do is read from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Dennis Kimbrough. Very, very good book. He also is the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, and What Makes the Great Great. And I advise you, Google him, pick up some of his books, and see what his brother has to say. Anyway, here's the reading for today, February 25th. The topic is called Dear Abby. Quote, "Don't ask anybody's advice unless you're prepared to use it," unquote. Sammy Davis Jr., entertainer and philanthropist. Reading for the day. You are never more vulnerable than at those moments when you need advice, but you also are never more in control. You're the one who decides whom to turn to, how to listen, and how seriously to act on the counsel of others. A man was on the practice team when the club golf pro brought another golfer out for a lesson. The pro watched his student swing several times and started making suggestions for improvement. But each time, the pupil interrupted him with his own version of what was wrong and how to correct it. After a few minutes of this interference, the pro began nodding his head in agreement. At the end of the lesson, the student paid the pro, congratulated him on his expertise as a teacher, and left in an obviously pleased frame of mind. The observer was so astounded by the performance that he asked, quote, "Why did you go along with him?" unquote. Quote, "Son," unquote, the old pro said with a grin as he carefully pocketed his fee. Quote, "I've learned long ago that it's a waste of time to sell answers to a man who wants to buy echoes," unquote. Some people aren't good at taking advice. They can't admit when they need help. They can't deal with conflicting opinions. They only hear what they want to hear or what confirms their own opinion. They listen to the wrong people or too many people. And even if they seek advice from those whose wisdom is widely sought, they misinterpret the advice or they don't follow through. Always remember these four rules concerning advice. 1. Admit you need it. 2. Consider the source. 3. Go to the right source. 4. And develop a board of advisors. Don't be afraid to use these keys. I will be particular regarding whose advice I accept today. And this is a very powerful reading. You know, we ask the people for advice at times, and, you know, then we don't like the advice that they give us. But, you know, if you don't like the advice they give you, why did you seek them out in terms of asking for advice? So, you know, the bottom line is, again, as I said, 1 is admit you need advice, consider the source, go right to the source, and develop a board of advisors. Don't be afraid to use these keys. Because we all should have a sounding board, a board of advisors, so that when we're working on something, you can ask those people, you know, what advice do you have to offer? How do you see what we need to do? And that's one of the things that I do with helping people with forming their nonprofits. I go over with them who is their advisory board is going to be. I let them know that the advisory board is the people that can share information with them. They don't have to necessarily listen to it, because that's why they call it advisory board. They're not the board of directors. They're not the ones that have the final say in what you do. But everybody should have an advisory board, and I just think that's so important. All right. Good evening, Mr. David Murphy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing extremely well. How about yourself, sir?
Hey, brother. It's been a long day, and just trying to hang in here. You know, my mother-in-law's over the hospital. She's got to spend another night there tonight. So my wife and my sister-in-law, they'll be there again tonight, and hopefully they be back home tomorrow, trying to get her blood pressure down so that she can be able to come back home and stay in the land of living with us. So, you know, so we're all praying for that. And I just want to thank all of those people out there in our listening audience who know our situation and are offering their prayers and the mother-in-law's speedy recovery, and that she'll be granted, you know, a few more days here on this earth. And she's 91. Her 92nd birthday comes up this weekend, Sunday, March the 3rd. We had planned to be able to have something for her at the house, so hopefully we'll still be able to go forward with those plans. But I want to thank all of those out there who's, you know, sent prayers up. Prayers go up, blessings come down. So, hey, with that said, let's dive into the next show.
Okay, great, great. And I, too, will send my prayers up for your mother-in-law. I know your mother-in-law, and she has a great spirit about her and loves to dance at her age. And so my prayers goes up. And Brother Satavi, I want to know if Bill Gooden is on the line or not.
Hold on, let me check and see.
While you're checking, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on these airways. It's always a blessing to be here, first and foremost.
Yeah, can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes. I hear you, Bill.
Yes, sir. We hear you, Bill.
All right. Well, let me just say is that, you know, I'm also sending my prayers, too, to your mother-in-law.
Fantastic.
All right, thank you.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna dive into this thing this evening because, you know, Bill Gooden and I, as well as Brother Satai, we attend a monthly breakfast, which is hosted by Black Men Unifying Black Men. And it's a unique organization for some brothers who have come together for the sole purpose of uniting brothers, introducing brothers to each other. And a lot of great things have came out of this union or group. And we've been around well over 4 years now. And thousands, I mean literally thousands of brothers have entered those rooms. And now they're doing wonderful things with each other. Not only do they get to know one another, they're doing collaborations, they're doing business. And even the National Black Unity News came from out of that collaboration. And I'm very grateful for the visionary who put this all together. He's online with us this evening. That's Mr. Bill Gooden. Not only he is an activist, he's the editor-in-chief of the National Black Unity News. He is the founder of Black Men Unifying Black Men. He's an author, a social activist, and a just straight-up good brother, man, dedicated brother, who put in work for many, many, many years. And Brother Bill, while I got you on the line here, I'm going to share something I found out on Facebook. Before we dive into what Black Men Unifying Black Men kind of stand for and what we do, but, you know, it was kind of alarming that a sister posted something on Facebook. I know everybody has an opinion about this and about that, but, you know, I was looking at this post, this young lady. I don't know how old she is, but based on the picture, she's a young lady. And I'm not going to call her out. I'm not going to put her name out there because I don't do them type of things. But I'm just going to put her subject matter out there because I think it's going to make for great discussion this evening. And some of those things need to be addressed. It's nothing but black men who's on this call. See, I'm not listening to the show, but who are actually participating in the show this evening. I'm going to dive right into this.
You're breaking up, David.
Dave,
you're breaking up.
So, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, what happened? I got earphones on and it dropped. And so I apologize for that 3 seconds of interruption. But in any case, what I was saying is that a young lady who posted a post on Facebook, and it was referring to last night's event, what they call the Oscars or Grammys, whatever they call that thing. So many awards they got now. But in any case, there was a gentleman by the name of Billy Porter, and he wore this tuxedo dress on the show. And it got a lot of feedback all day long from some of the talk shows, the news, and Facebook and everything else. It started a lot of conversations, especially about black men. And this is what this young lady wrote, because she was upset because some people were saying that this gentleman or the media were emasculating black men. And this is the image that they'll be coming up with. You know, after the R. Kellys, the Michael Jackson, the O.J. Simpsons, and everybody, Bill Cosby, and the like has been tried, retried, through the media. They've been tried through the media and through the courts of law, and pretty all of them, except for Michael Jackson, he's dead, but I'm quite sure he was alive. He probably would end up in jail as well. And because now R. Kelly just is in jail, just being released. Bill Cosby is sitting in jail right now. O.J. Simpson just came out of jail. And see, sometimes when you in the larger society, they just won't let it go until they call it, until they get their justice. Even though they may have put these gentlemen through the courts and found not guilty, they won't let it go. They'll retry them and retry until they have their way. That's my opinion about it. But in any case, here's another opinion. This young lady wrote this about this gentleman wearing this tuxedo dress last night, Billy Porter, that's his name. And a lot of black men have posted on Facebook, they're talking about the emasculating of the black man. And she wrote this, and she's a black woman. She said, "Your emasculation is due to the absentee fathers who didn't raise you into men, and mother who treated you like her man instead of her child." She said, "Your emasculation is due to your thinking that your 6 to 15 strokes inside the vagina measures your manhood." She also went on to say, "Your emasculation is due to your willingness for unprotected sex, but a deep hatred for court-ordered child support at a bare minimum. Your emasculation is due to your inability to provide for a household without asking your partner for 50% of it. Your emasculation is due to women outpacing you in education, entrepreneurship, and salary, but you still expecting her to carry full domestic duties while you be the man of the house and the name and expressive sex expression only. Your emasculation is due to your failure to work out your stunted emotional intelligence and trauma with a therapist, but instead expecting every romantic partner you have to repair you. But you can rest assured that your emasculation is not because one black gay man decided to remind you that he's wholly black and gay by wearing a tuxedo gown." Now, gentlemen, you know, we all of we are, I would say we are seasoned gentlemen, and we all are black men. And like I said, this is just one person's opinion about this subject matter, about this guy being emasculating us as men. But she went on to say, she got a little deep and said, because black men are not fathers, we don't do the right job. In other words, we don't step up. And this, that, and that. I understand we can't put everybody into the same boat because we know that's not true. But unfortunately, there are men that we are familiar with who have done these things this young lady is expressing. But, you know, it is just that's another form I think it's just another form of what you call self-hatred, because you, I don't think it's right to put all men into the same boat. Because that same subject matter that she's speaking on, Asian men has done that, Caucasian men has done that, all sorts of men has done that, cheated on their wives, didn't take care of their responsibilities, and doing this stuff because, but you know, but she lumped us in one boat, and I want to discuss that tonight because I know differently of what black men are doing, and I open up with our group, Black Men Unifying Black Men, and I was she was a fly on the wall, so that she could see strong black men who has come together out of their own time and free will to come into those breakfasts, into those rooms, to share information how they are helping their community, how they helping their families, how they pulling up other brothers who may be struggling out there. And I've met black men all my life who are doing wonderful and great things. But the imagery, the image that has been placed upon us, from the larger society through lack of media. When I say lack of media, we only own 1% of the media, so most of every time we see something, it's coming from their point of view. And so, General, I just want to, you know, start this conversation off with a few questions. When you hear what I just read from some people's point of view that we are not this and we are not that, and quite unfortunately, quite a few people from the outside source, when I'm talking about other ethnic groups, believe that to us about black men. And then there's also the people, our own people, a lot of women, because they've been hurt, they've been burned, or they have had bad relationship with some men. And then they say all of us are dogs. They say all of us this, that. They lump us all into one big pot, so to speak. And so, when I read this, I personally felt attacked as a man because somebody was trying to define me as this or trying to define me as that. When I read that to you, brothers, Bill and Satawi, y'all can jump in here. When I read that, what was your take on that?
Well, you know, let me say this. You know, I mean, it kind of almost took me back to the discussion that we was having last week when we talked about how black people go to a black business and they get bad service and then they condemn the whole race of black people, saying, well, I ain't never spend my money with black folks because I got bad business. Well, you know, I mean, look, it's unfortunate that the sister felt like that, but I guess, you know, my thing is that you never know what a person's experience has been in life. And maybe every man she didn't have may have been a bad experience for her. And, you know, at the same time, then, you know, I've heard black man, unfortunately, you know, make some derogatory comments towards black women, like in lumping them in a group. You know, but I think the truth is that as you spoke the truth when you was talking, we know there's lots of good black men out there, just like we know there's lots of good black women out there. So, you know, again, Dave, you know, because you happened to mention the paper, and even when we're talking about the paper, that's why it's important that we somehow, when I say we, those of us that's out there, black men as well as black women, that we continue trying to change the narrative of how our people see us so that our people can see us in a different light. And once enough people start seeing ourselves in a different kind of light, then I think that we'll start to speak more positive about one another. So I guess that's my opinion. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I don't really know the young woman. So, you know, you never know what people's personal experience has been.
Okay. All right, brother,
okay.
Satawi, you
want to
kick in on that?
Yeah. First of all, as my teacher, Dr. Karinga, used to say, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but everybody's opinion is not right. And, you know, we need to know what her opinion, what experiences, as Bill was saying, what experiences has she had that justifies, in her mindset, that particular opinion, because, you know, maybe from her experience, you know, that might be a validation of her reality that she has gone through in life. And if so, that's, you know, that's unfortunate. But again, to lump all black men into a single category is not something that, you know, is something that we should categorically do in terms of lumping people into a framework and saying, well, you know, this is it because, you know, I experienced such and such. Well, your experience is not the totality of what experience is. So it's important that we make sure that as we set the stage to discuss these particular realities, is that we make sure that we give people their just due and their just framework to be able to, one, express themselves, but express themselves in a way in which they're not condemning all black men that exist.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. You know, I look at this thing in several kinds of ways. Like I say, this individual who may wrote this, but I do know a lot of people have a lot of sentiments in that thing, because I heard quite a few women say, lumping black men because they had some bad experiences. But surely, at the same time, you know, it's difficult for me to understand how somebody could post this, because she looked like she's an adult, and I'm quite sure she is, but, you know, based on the on her look, you know, from my perspective. But I mean, surely her brothers, or I don't know if she got brothers, uncles, or neighbors, or school teachers, or whatever that she had came across in her lifetime, and it will be hard pressed for me to believe that she could say that because even though she may have some personal experiences, that there was men around her, all of them was like that, you know. And it's hard for me to believe anybody, you know, who lives a little bit of time to come to that conclusion. But she made a point that kind of stuck out to me, because, you know, I'm in the media. And, you know, because I'm in the media, I was reading between the lines when she was saying, because, like I said, it wasn't just her speaking about this. When I was on Facebook today, there was a lot of discussion going on. When I watched the news first thing in the morning, there was a lot of discussion going on about that gentleman wearing that tuxedo dress. I seen it. We got some background noise. Yeah. And like I say, when I looked at things, and like I said, there was a lot of discussion going on about that, and they kept highlighting it, just like they doing this young man who allegedly told a lie about himself getting beat up. I was saying to Murray this morning, I was saying, how much press this young man going to get? I mean, they spent a lot of time on that, brother, this morning on Good Morning America. So, I mean, a lot of time. He got more time than the president was getting on the subject matter, while other people, all this news that was going around in this world about people killing people doing this, all kinds of stuff right here in Maryland, you know, all kinds of news was going on, but all that got overplayed by a young black man trying to get publicity.
Well,
and I was saying,
I'm just saying, like you say, you in media, you know what I'm saying, you've been in media for a long time, so I mean, you understand, you know, the power of the media. You know, we have our media, you know, and basically the media we got is trying to make sure that we show the positive side of black folks. But you got all the people that got their media, and their media is set up trying to destroy black folks. So, I mean, you know, you can't, you know, once you witnessing that media, then they doing what they supposed to do. They doing what they have always done. You know what I'm saying? That's using their media to cast the negative. Cast you on the negative side, and unfortunately, their media happened to be mainstream media.
But I'm going to say this, that they're doing an excellent job because, and like you say, they do what they do, and that's why it's so important, gentlemen. I'm going to flip the switch now, that we do what we must have to do. And I'm going to take this time right now to share some information about a couple of things, several things that's on a positive light. One thing is the National Black Unity News. It's a publication designed by us and it's for us. And it's a type of publication that is solution-oriented. And we bring good news, good black news all over the country and all over the United States and beyond. And I encourage everybody to get your copy. All you have to do is go online and go to www.nationalblackunitynews.com. And you can get your, you can read the full publication online, or you can order your own subscription, where we can send it to your home or your office. And it's $18.50 a year, so it's extremely affordable, but it's worth every penny. It's so much value to this publication, ladies and gentlemen, that it will bring value to your life. And it's a lot of information by professionals who share information that will enhance your quality of life. So I encourage you to get your copy of the National Black Unity News. Now, we were just speaking on another subject about, you know, how people may view us in a negative light. And I want to show you, I'm so glad Brother Bill Gooden is on the line because he's the founder of the National Black, he's an organizer, he's a visionary of black men unifying black men. And as I said earlier, so many great things has came from out of that. And it's, I want Bill to explain his vision about black men unifying black men and you know, how it got started and how people can participate. Because we got an event, and I want him to share a little bit about the upcoming event as well. Bill Gooden, you got the floor.
Well, you know, first and foremost, Dave, listen, thank you and thank Brother Satari. You know, I mean, like you say, all of us have been out there for a long time, but basically, you know, black man unifying black man, I mean, you know, even though, you know, I may have been the vessel in terms of starting it, but like you said, we are started. But, I mean, basically, just with the whole concept in terms that if black males would come together on a consistent basis, where we would have an opportunity to break bread and start to meet one another, then it would give us an opportunity to start working with one another, building relationships, and ultimately, when we talk about solving our problems within our communities, I mean, the bottom line, as I see it, is that the bottom line is that if black males don't step up to change the conditions of other black males, then them conditions will not be changed. Because other people that's not from the black community are not black people, then they don't have the same interests we have in reference to our people to save us from what's happening to ourselves. So, you know, like you continue to say, I mean, it's so much have come from this monthly meeting with black males coming together. I mean, you have young guys that have come as young as 4 and 5 years old. Then you have older guys that have come that's as old as 80 and 90 years old. So it's a collaborative effort for all black males to unify, to get a chance to meet one another, the experience that we have. Every month we know that we're going to a black business, you know, to have our breakfast. So we're not just talking about black men unifying black men. We're saying that we're going to spend our dollars where we're putting our mouth at, and that's at a black facility so that we could be supportive to them. And even when we're talking about supporting them, Dave, you know, you made mention in terms of, you know, we have brought thousands of men together over the 4-year period. So these black businesses that we have been to, then they have gotten a lot of exposure and they have got a lot of different new clientele because of them efforts. So I'm just saying it's so many efforts that have come from it. And let me just conclude with this because, you know, I mean, the bottom line when you say how it started with just very few of us, Dave, and you was one of them. We had a meeting at Terrace Cafe and probably about 14 or 15 of us that started off. But, you know, thank God, God gave us the fortitude to be consistent. And I always say consistency sometimes is the payoff. So, you know, through our consistent efforts, then, you know, we may start off with 15, then we had 30, and before we looked around, we had 50, and before we looked around, we was bringing 100 men together on a monthly basis. So that's basically the whole concept and vision.
All right, fantastic. And by the way, you know, we have an event coming up this Saturday.
Right.
And that's, what's that, March the 2nd, I believe. From
March
10 to 12, from 10 to 12 a.m. Can you give that address and location on Bill?
Yes, it's Nyla's Restaurant, which is located 5722 York Road. And that's just a couple blocks below Belvedere and a few blocks before you get to Woodburn. Again, 5722 York Road.
Okay. And it's a nice, fantastic restaurant owned by a black brother who's very generous. And, you know, not only is he generous, but, you know, he's very supportive of what we do, and we're very supportive of him as well. And
exactly.
That's the way it should – that's what unity is all about, each one helping each other. So, you know – And not only that, like Bill mentioned before, we have visited many black restaurants. We just don't meet at one location. We have spread the wealth, so to speak. You know, we have been to various black-owned restaurants. You know, so we walk the walk, we talk the talk, you know. And you know, I want to say kudos for your vision, because that, not only that, but, you know, I'm going to just say this about the breakfast. I've been there. I only missed a few breaths out of the 4-year period of time. I bet I can count them on one hand, less than that, you know. But every time I go to one of those breakfasts, the atmosphere, you can feel it in the air. It's no mono, you know, chest stuck out against one another like that. But, you know, it's a lot of love. Yeah, we have some time. We may get in some heated discussions from time to time. But, you know, but the bottom line is, when the brothers get to introduce themselves, it's a wealth of information that comes out. These brothers come from all over. We got reentry programs. We got brothers coming there offering jobs, educational services. We got brothers that have all types of programs and stuff that's going on, youth programs, mentoring programs, scouting, all kinds of things that comes through those rooms, and brothers sharing their expertise in their chosen field. And I'm so pleased that this thing got started, because it renewed me in a lot of ways. Because, like I mentioned before, the National Black Unity News came from out of there, and it got me back into the physical publishing thing again. And then it brought a lot of strength, man, you know, back to myself personally, because it kind of got me back into the game again, you know, so to speak. But I never left it, but I was just doing it in different formats. But at the same time, we encourage all the brothers. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 102. You're welcome. It don't cost you anything, but we do ask for a donation to help pay for the breakfast and stuff. You don't have to. Don't let that be a deterrent, if you know, because, like I said, no charge. We just want you to come out, meet one another, meet the brothers, and you never know the outcome, because, like I say, so many great things have came from out of that. So many friendships and so bonding and sharing. Man, it's powerful, powerful. So, brothers, if you listen to us, and ladies, if you got some men around you, your sons, your fathers, your uncles, your cousins, invite them. Let them know about Black Men Unifying Black Men. You can go online and just put in Black Men Unifying Black Men, and our Facebook page will show up, or you can go to our website, you know, blackmenunifyingblackmen.com. But in any case, you know, it's a wonderful breakfast, and the food is good, and the conversation is great. So we encourage you to come out. Now, getting back to this black men discussion, I hope these brothers don't get upset with me, but I don't think they will, because the truth is the light, and the truth will make you free. I know both of these brothers for some time now, and, you know, and we have some very deep conversations, Brother Satavi and I, as well as Bill Gooden and I. We get deep about some heavy stuff sometimes. And as men, we know, even men, see, ladies, you don't know this about, you know, when men are close and they trust one another, they share information with one another. And these brothers got a heart, you know, man, they hurt just like anybody else, but when they stand up, they warriors too. But, you know, we multifaceted. You know, we just, everybody ain't just this way or this way. You know, we hurt just like everybody else hurt, too. We go through trials, ups and downs, just like everybody. We humans. But this I do know. You know, when I was talking about this young lady, we're talking about this discussion about emasculating black men. Well, if I had told her about my brother Bill Gooden, if I had told her way back in the day when he was coming up, you know, I don't know what happened to him and that young lady. That's personal business. But I do know one thing. Bill raised his own children. Without a woman in the house, he took care. He did that. But see, you know, you don't hear a lot of that. You know, you hear about the brothers that don't pay, but see, you hear about brothers like Bill Gooden out there stepped up because he's supposed, it wasn't nothing great about what he did. It's just that he did what he's supposed to do. But you don't hear a lot about that. And then I got my brother on the other side, Brother Satawi. Not only did he raise his own children, but he raised a whole bunch of other people's children. When I first met them, him and his wife, they turned the house into a recreation center. They had children from the neighborhood coming in there. They were teaching them all sorts of things, dancing, reading, helping them with their homework, doing all kinds. They opened up their homes, they opened up their hearts, and they opened up their pocketbooks, man, to take care of other people's children. They even took care of my children when they was young. And so, you know, so a lot of times, see, you know, when I hear, that's why I brought that subject matter up, because it kind of bothered me, you know, when I hear people saying things about us, about men, about my people, about race, anything, when they don't have a clue. Evidently, they don't have a clue, because they would never, ever lump us all into one boat, one situation, when there's so many men out here doing so many wonderful things. And they don't have to be in your own particular family. Well, you read about them, you hear about them, the Martin Luther Kings, you hear about black men doing all kinds of wonderful things. Athletes, singers, everybody is putting something back. Most of the people, they put something back. You know the real nature of people. You know, they're all not monsters. And you can never, you know, like I said, it's very difficult for me for somebody to take an opinion like that and boast. Not only is their opinion, we're going to put it out there and putting down their own. That's what I'm saying, because she don't like me. Her color is the same color as mine. And when she talk about emasculating, that's exactly what she was doing. And so I said that to say this, you know, ladies and gentlemen, like I say, airways, you know, media is designed to persuade you sometimes. Some people call it propaganda. Some people call public opinion. That's what they want to call it. But oftentimes, it even enticing you to buy this or buy that or to change your opinion on this or that, you know. And that's what, you know, that's what media does. They entertain you. While they got you entertained, then they sway you. And I know, because I'm in the media, and that's what media does. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying this, you know, like I said, if I can sway you or persuade you to do something, all I ask that you do is when you speak about groups of people, just have an open mind. You know, oftentimes we say the Caucasian, even we, you know, a lot of black people are guilty of this as well. You know, but you know, there are some people out there that want to see the destruction of the black men. But then in that same race of people, there are people go out there and get their lives for the black people as well. And so, you know, we can't lump it up, but, you know, but like I say, I understand when people say, you know, they feel as though when they try to lump everybody into one boat, you know, but like I say, you know, you have to be extremely careful, because on a deeper level, you know, God created all of us, and all men are created equal. But, you know, it's like I tell people, we operate on a lot of principles and a lot of laws. Like I say, there's God laws. There are natural laws, and then there's man laws. And man laws are very fickle. You know, they turn you away, but at least if you allow them to. But sometimes we have to operate on a higher principle, and that's God laws and natural laws. And then the natural laws, you know, you have to understand it's about the survival of the fittest. You know, they trying to survive just like we trying to survive. And some people have, you know, you can look at it this way, you know, you can look like a bird. You got birds of prey. Then you say birds that just eat seeds and stuff, you know. But even in humans, you know, we have people that prey on people. We groups of people that preys on people. But at the same time, there are other people, man, who are gentle and loving and this, that. But, you know, sometimes it's the nature, it's the culture, it's a lot of things. But in any case, gentlemen, sometimes I know you had a rough time, you know, today, you know, a lot of times because your family's going through something, man, and I know when they go through, you go through. But you have a powerful program that I know you want to share a few moments about, you know, the Vortex. And I think, you know, because like I say, even though we share information on these airways, but, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this comes from our hearts, but, you know, we are businessmen, you know, and we have things to offer you, like I say, to enhance your quality of life. And my brother got a powerful program that he want to share with you. You answer, Tommy?
Yes, I am. All right, David. Yeah, thank you for that that introduction. Yes, it has been a rough day, but you know, in the midst of all of that, you know, bottom line is, if we go through each day, we make sure that we always open up shop in terms of the doors to our business, and we have a powerful program that's called the Vortex. And people might say, "What is the Vortex?" The Vortex is an online consumer booking website that allows you to beat the price of Expedia, Priceline, Trivago, Cheap Tickets, Hotels.com, all of the different online booking engines that when you use the Vortex, you're going to come out cheaper on getting a hotel, a car rental, staying at a resort, and those major categories of your personal travel. You might say, okay, well, how do I go to activate this free account that you're talking about? The free account, you go to www.myvortex365.com/MUVROUP. And when you do that, it'll take you to the Movements Unlimited Travel Group. You create your free account. You'll learn some information about the Vortex. We have a short 45-second video on that landing page that allows you to tell you a few things about the Vortex. The bottom line is just knowing that 85 to 90% of the time, you're going to be able to get a better deal. And again, the account is free. And by giving this account away, it helps us with being able to raise money for our youth development programs, the various things that we do through Movements Unlimited. So please go and create you a free Vortex account. And when you do, hey, I'll be in touch with you because I'll see that you created the account. And then I'll be reaching out to you so that we can make sure you know how to use it. All right, back to you, David.
Okay, fantastic. And while we're doing that, like I said, we multi-talented brothers. I want to share something, too, again. You know, not only do I publish the National Black Unity News, but I also develop websites. I also design and do commercials for people. Now, you know, when it comes to media, it could be extremely expensive, but you know, I have a special thing about David Murphy is that, you know, if you not that I'm discriminating against anybody, but I have a special place in my heart for my own people, because that's my calling in life, to help set my people free. And if you got a business that's really can help people, that's really trying to help people, then you need to call me because I can help you not only through the National Black Unity News, but I can help your business through websites. I can help do specialized commercials just for you, designed just for you, to help take you to another level. And another thing, most importantly, I am a consultant. I've been around business and publishing for over 40-something years now. And I have a wealth of experience and with technology, as well as experience with marketing and promotions. So if you want to go to the next level, I truly encourage you, give me a call. That's David Murphy at 443-455-2373. And my brother Bill, not only he's the editor-in-chief of the National Black Unity News and the founder of Black Men Unifying Black Men, but he's also an author. But he also do some things on the side as well, if he can, to share that about, you know, what you do, Bill, you know, help people out with a little of the things that I'm going to let you share if you want to.
Well, you know, Dave, like you say, listen, I guess, you know, as they say, one of us can't do all of it, but all of us could do everything that we need to get done. So, you know, in small ways, like, you know, I do, you know, have a snow blower, got a little old pickup truck, you know, so if we get snow, I mean, occasionally, you know, if I can, I can help somebody to clean off the front, you know, somebody got a little trash or something they need moved, then, you know, I provide them little kind of services. No real big services, because like I said, just a pickup truck with just little small things, like you got some trash or something in your yard, or you got something in your house you're trying to get rid of, then, you know, I could do them things. So I think that you said it early on, man. You know what I mean? Basically, we could do it all. You know what I mean? Just like Brother Satire just was talking about his program, talking about traveling. You know, I always say this, Dave, like you say, man, you have had lots of conversation. I always say, you know, all of us should try to make an effort to travel and to at least at one time in our life to get out of this country to see other parts of the world. Because, you know, just seeing other parts of the world is an education that spreads within itself.
Yeah, I agree with you because I never been out the country myself. You know, and but that's like I say, I'm 67 years old and I got so much to look forward to. And, you know, so life is great. You know, like I tell people, man, you know, age is nothing but a number. And, you know, because if you are getting up there in age, you see, you should have a wealth of experience about this, about that, whatever you've been doing in life. You know, and it's not all about you all the time, because if you've been blessed with longevity and experience, then, you know, you should share it with people. Because a lot of people just don't know it. They can use that knowledge that you have. And that's what we do through the National Black Unity News. We share information that can help you, you know, have a better life. And like me, you know, one of the worst things that can happen, from my perspective, man, this is David Murphy's perspective, is God has blessed me with so many gifts and talents. And the worst thing that can happen to me from my perspective is this, is to die and didn't share this information with other people. You know, when people are hurting and don't have a direction and looking for, you know, looking for hope and looking for ways to support their family. Here I'm sitting on with all of this information and die with. That's why some people say that the graveyard is the most wealthiest place on earth, because people die with all that wealth and talent without sharing it with somebody. So,
well,
you know,
right,
life.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
No, I got to say, you're absolutely right, man. You know what I mean? Look, the worst thing in the world you want to do is everything God gave you, you don't want to take it to the grave with you. You know what I'm saying? You want to leave it here for somebody else to use.
Yeah, that is so true.
What you're saying, I agree 100%, man.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, but that's what we do. And so, you know, again, I want to thank everybody, man, because, I'm going to say this. You know, in life, sometimes people measure us by wealth, you know, by money sometimes. And some people measure us by your position in life. You know, you the manager or you the head of a department or something like that. And some people, you know, like I say, but people, when they judge or their perception of you, you know, that's just an opinion that they may have. But I tell you this, I always say I'm always astute. I'm always willing to learn something or try something different or try something new. But I do, but like I said, by me being a student, I can learn from a child. I can learn from somebody who's senior, everything in between. Because, like I say, God has blessed each and every man with a measure of gifts and talents. And so, you know, be respectful of each other. because you never know the information that that person gives to you that can help you with your life, you know. And so, like I said, I sleep good at night because at least I'm trying to share with others, you know. And one of the things, and when I say I'm a blessed man, because, you know, most people go through life sometimes without really having a vision or a purpose. They just exist. They, you know, they eat, sleep, and go to bed, work on somebody's job, and they live and die their whole life that way. And God has blessed them with so many gifts and talents, but they didn't pursue them because they're so caught up in with the daily things of every day. But for me, and like these two brothers online with me, because I know them personally, you know, these brothers pursued their passion. They pursued their gifts. And here we all, like I said, a lot of people say at our age, we all around, all of us are around the same age. We ain't all of us about a year apart. And but I tell you one thing about the brothers that I'm speaking with on this airwaves. We're looking forward. We're still doing our thing. You know, we're still working at our gifts and stuff like that. You go to anyone and pick up the phone and call one of them. Bill is a writer. He's still writing. Brother Satire, he works with youth and been an entrepreneur. All this, he's still entrepreneur and working with you. And I'm still doing David Murphy and all the things that I do. Looking forward to stuff. So, you know, and see, when you have a when you have a purpose-driven life, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody have it within, all you have to do is look within yourself. Look within yourself, and you will find those gifts. You nurture those gifts. You are a man, I'm going to tell you something. It's all, you got it all already in your gut. When you come to life, you're just like a seed. You know, a seed, the tree is already inside the seed. So, you know, when they say, I'm going to be a tree, it's already there. And that's the same thing with you. Your gifts and talents are in you. And guess what else happens? If you pursue them, you nurture them, guess what else it will do for you? It will make a way for you. Because yeah, I'm just a talent. Go ahead, brother. I'll just jump in when you jump
no,
in.
No. I'm saying that's true. You know what I mean? You just like you said a few minutes ago, you know what I mean, in terms of that, you know how people define people, you know, in terms of money, prestige, job. But, you know, listen, I used to always tell my sons that, listen, man, you know, if you let the world make you small, you small. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I always say I don't care what kind of position a person have. In the end, if they a man, then I'm a man just like they are. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you let people make you small or make you feel small, then that's the way you're going to think. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to make, you know, to motivate yourself. And sometimes that's the hardest challenge for people, man, motivating their own selves. You know what I'm saying? But you have to find ways to keep yourself, you know, just like we said when we protested, fired up. You know, we have to keep ourselves fired up, and we have to try to help each other to keep one another fired up. Just like you sitting here on this air. Airways, and you keep on talking about Brother Satire, and you're talking about me. You know, you keep trying to fire us up. You know, we're talking about each other. You know, so when we're giving each other good energy, man, it helps us to continue doing what we're doing, because everybody needs good energy. You know, if only thing we gave each other was bad energy, then why do we really need each other?
That's right. And that's what it's all about. See, that's what unity is all about. Each one of us edifying one another, loving one another, you know, working and building together, because it's not even about us half the most of the time. You see, it's about, like you just mentioned, his sons. See, it's about the next generation, leaving, you know, it's a shame you lived a lifetime and you didn't leave something back here, you know, letting people know that you was here, you know. And and it don't have to be monetary, it could be what you know. You can share, like you just, brother just said, he shared with his sons. That's valuable knowledge, because if you allow people to reduce you to nothing, that's what you end up being. And so you have to step up, because, like I say, you know, if you can't motivate yourself, get around people, man, who's trying to do things or trying to go places. You know, and so, you know, we're getting down too close to the end of the hour, but, you know, again, see, I'm going to tell you something. You know, and we humans, I keep saying, we human beings, and we have our ups and downs and in and out just like anybody else. But, you know, it's a good thing to have strong people around you. See, when I get down, sometimes I beat myself up, but then I talk to a Bill Gooden. Bill tell me, man, you better, he's straight up. He say, man, you better than that. You go ahead, you know, do this and do that. And then that gets me right back in the battlefield. See, you know, like I said, I call myself a soldier, and I call these brothers soldiers because we still on the battlefield. And I tell people this too. We got the battle scars to prove it. But you know, it ain't about proving nothing to you. You know, it ain't nothing. But you know, it's be true to yourself. You know, see, these brothers go with or without. You know, they don't need no fanfare. They don't need no crowd. You know, they gonna do what they gonna do. You know, regardless of who's around them. And so, you know, so I'm saying this to the listening audience. You know, we can go off these airways, and I want to encourage you again because it's a wealth of information. When I mention the National Black Unity News, guess what else? Both of these brothers are, as I mentioned before, Bill is the editor-in-chief, and he writes a couple of articles in the publication, and Brother Satavi, him and his wife, they write articles in the publication. And we all are sharing information with you. And there's a host of others that's in the National Black Unity News that's sharing information as well. And so I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and I'm proud to say this too, you know, the National Black Unity News, right now as we speak, is Black History Month. We are making history because right now we are the number one black newspaper in the entire United States, the number one black circulated newspaper in the United States, the number one black newspaper with a staff, a group of people that work on that any other publication. We got three or four many people working with one publication, any other newspaper, black newspaper in this country right now. So we covering a lot of fronts, a lot of different areas, and we just getting started. So that's not, I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the fact that when you got brothers who come together, you got black people come together on the same accord to try to uplift our people. See, this is what unity is all about. And it's not, like I tell you, it's not a David Murphy thing. It's not a Bill Gooden thing. It's not a Satavi thing. It's a us thing. See, everybody that come together who put this publication together, and we all put something on the table so that everybody can feast upon. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your copy of the National Black Unity News. Support the publication because the publication is geared to support you. And with that being said, Bill Good, you got any parting words? We got a few minutes left, and I want to thank the listeners for listening in. And if you want to say a few words in closing, Bill?
I just want to thank both you brothers. I want to thank the people from listening in. And I guess, you know, my closing remarks is just that, you know, again, for sisters that's out there, if you got the black males that you have in your family and in your life, you know, encourage them to come out to the breakfast this coming Saturday at 5722 York Road from 10 to 12. Again, you know, it's just about us trying to unify ourselves. And, you know, I mean, once we can meet one another, it gives us an opportunity to work together. So just help spread the word.
All right, Brother Satavi, back to you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, David. Thank you, Bill. I just want to close out today's show with some comments from a very, very powerful sister by the name of Lisa Nichols. And she talks about being careful how you let other people's opinion of you weigh in your life. She says other people's opinion of you is really none of your business. And she goes into this whole thing that she deals with about how she got that from her grandmother, and her grandmother shared with her, you know, honey, you know, did they think about you? That's none of your business. Mind your business. Keep your mind on your business, not what other people think your business is. And it's important because, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion about something. You know, I mean, there's people who, on one hand, if you was to ask them some things about me, you know, they'd have a bunch of negative stuff to say. And then on the other hand, there's some people that have a bunch of positive stuff to say. So I have to make sure that I understand who I am and whose I am and what is my mission and my goal in life and who am I working for. Because at the bottom, at the end of the day, it's about how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves in respective to our goals and our purpose and the things that we do. So those of you out there listening, remember, as Lisa Nichols said, whatever people think about you, it's none of your business. Mind your business. Let them have their opinion. their opinion don't necessarily make them right. So, you know, you want to do is you want to hold on to that nugget and use that nugget to help you propel your life forward and the things that you want to do, because everybody's always going to have an opinion, some good, some bad. So you just have to make sure that you know how, that as you push them forward, that you push them forward with the intent and the good about what you want to bring into the world. One of the sayings from the Odu Ifa is, humans were brought into the world to bring about good. So make sure we do good and let no good be lost. And that's my closing remarks for tonight. I want to thank you for listening to the National Black Unity News Show. And this show will be listed and published on Facebook, and it'll be published in the in Black Men Unifying Black Men, and also on my Facebook page, and also in a couple other Facebook pages that I send stuff out to. So again, we just want to thank you for tuning in tonight. God bless you. And we're going to close out like we always do with our theme song called It's My Time. My time to find my destiny. Get up, get ready, open your eyes, and say thank you, thank you, thank you.